Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
You can take your seat. Go ahead and stay standing for me real quick as we go to the Word. Don't take your seat just yet. It's good to be in the presence of God. Amen? Come on. Thank you for joining us. You know, when it rains, you never know what kind of crowd you're going to get. But you came to the house of God despite that rain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Despite the people who don't know how to drive in the rain here in Houston. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need patience on those roads, right? I got two announcements real quick. This coming Friday, we are having a prayer night. We're partnering with several churches across the city. Pastor Abram's church, if y'all know Pastor Abram, his church, Destiny Fellowship. We were talking about this last year. It's something that God had put on his heart. And so we want to do it. We're going to be hosting it here. We'll have a little bit of worship, and it's going to be a great night with intentional prayer. So I would love if Pneuma would show up. Okay. I better not see more of another church than you guys. So show up this Friday. It's going to start at 7:30, and we'll be out by maybe 9. Maybe the Holy Spirit says something different, but 7:30 is our start time. Amen. So we want to see you there. And of course, our project vision, we're going to be talking about this until that goal is raised. I believe right now we're at about 46,000, something like that. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all. Our goal is 200,000 to fill some of the much needed areas of repair in our church and in our fellowship hall. Amen. So if you haven't gotten information on that, you can get with myself, you can get with Claudia, and we will be happy to share that information. Amen. Let's go to the Word of God this morning. And I'm going to ask if you can help it, if you can just hold it for a little bit. Don't go anywhere, because the Lord has a word this morning for his people that is very, very important for us. It's out of 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be reading 1 through 6. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. The worship team was asking what song we wanted to do for altar call. I wasn't really sure. I had in mind another song, but my sister Alexa was supposed to sing, and they didn't sing it today. So Pastor Will asked me, hey, what's the sermon about? You know, we'll play it by ear. And I said, I'm preaching about the Antichrist, so I don't know if there's any songs. you got it? Amen. 1 John 4, 1 through 6 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have come out into the world, but by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is greater in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just put this word upon the hearts of your people, Lord, that it would sink into the depths of our heart, my God, that we would take this, Lord, and not walk out here and forget about it, my Lord, but we would apply this word to our everyday life. I pray that transformation would happen this morning. I pray for deliverance to happen this morning. I pray for healing and restoration. God, I pray for salvation. I pray for conviction through this word, my God. Whatever you want to do, be on my lips, Holy Spirit, and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk about something very real that affects the everyday life of every believer. The book of Ephesians says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's the real battle of life, right? Like, forget about the struggles of regular life. Forget about the things that you worry about every single day. Like behind every frustrating moment, behind every sadness, every heartbreak, behind every fit of anger or anxiety, there is something spiritual happening behind every single physical door. And a couple years ago, I preached a sermon called It's Spiritual, if you remember. And in that sermon, we were reminded that everything is more spiritual than we realize. Not everything is spiritual, but much more is more spiritual than we give credit to. The reason that we don't always realize this is because the spiritual realm is not visible, right? And so we're not always aware of the deeper things happening behind that thought, behind that conversation, behind that activity, or behind that relationship. So passages like this in 1 John and Ephesians, it reminds us to be alert and to be discerning. Church, it's so important for us as Christians to be on high alert. It's so important. More important than we realize. You know, Christianity is fun, it's beautiful, it's fulfilling, but it also comes with a lot of dangers because when you have something as valuable as your salvation, you have something that wants to take it from you. When you have something as powerful and life-transforming as the gospel, you automatically make enemies in spiritual realms. And so we cannot afford to get comfortable with what or with who we allow into our circle of influence. We have to be discerning. I know that our amazing prayer team, every week, they go behind these doors and they pray over everybody. I tell you this all the time. You know that we have an amazing prayer team and they pray before every service and they also pray for themselves. And if they forget to pray for themselves, I'm back there praying for them if they don't even know it. Because I'm praying, Lord, give them eyes to see what they cannot see in the physical. Let them discern who is hurting here at the altars. Let them know who is broken because your Holy Spirit reveals it to them. Let them know who is genuine. We all need that type of discernment. It's one of the most underrated gifts that we don't seek. Because while we're so busy seeking the supernatural gifts of healing and prophecy, and all of those are great, there is a world of Christians being deceived because of a lack of discernment. Discernment isn't just knowing the difference between good and bad. That's not all discernment is. Discernment is knowing the difference between good and what seems to be good. Charles Spurgeon said, it's the difference between what is good and what is almost good. We're living in times where so much in our world seems to be good. It sounds good. It sounds Christian. It looks Christian. It claims to be Christian. It looks like compassion. It looks like love. And so many Christians, this is the sad thing, so many Christians don't know what side to take. They don't know what they're supposed to think. They don't know what they're supposed to say until somebody they trust tells them what to believe. What we have in this modern Christian era is a church that doesn't know how to discern because it doesn't know how to test. So I entitled the sermon today, Bad Spirits, because the church that is called to worship in spirit and in truth needs to be able to discern the spirits and the truth. And in John's day, there was not enough information about the truth. That was the issue in the early times of Christianity. So many people were deceived because there was people who would preach and teach in the name of Jesus, claiming to be wise, speaking eloquently, some of them performing signs and wonders, seeming to be legit, but they weren't. And in these days, you know, the Bible wasn't as prevalent as it is today. So people would just write things and make things up and people would believe it. There was so many, we have so many manuscripts of books of people who claim to walk with Jesus. For example, we got the Gospel of Thomas. That's a real book that deceived many people. And it's known as a pseudepigrapha, pseudo meaning falsely. It's falsely attributed to the disciple Thomas. And so there's so much of this going on in the early church. And so the apostles, especially Paul, had to do a lot of handholding when it came to the truth because there was just not enough information about the truth. So Paul tells the Thessalonians, test everything. John says, test every spirit. Luke highlights the Bereans who were skilled at examining the word of God to see if these things were so. So in a day where there was not enough information, discernment was crucial. And today we've got the same problem. It's just that the problem is from a different source. Today we have an abundance of information about the truth. We've got information about everything, but it's all being manipulated and is being used for certain agendas. And these days, nobody knows who to believe. And so we don't believe anything but because we got too many people saying different things. And so we have a version of the truth, but it's always being tested. We need Christians today who know how to discern correctly. John says that the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. You know, as Christians, we're always so fascinated about like who the Antichrist is and has he been born? And we're always watching these YouTube videos and people say that, you know, it's this guy and it's that guy and it's Elon Musk and it's Bill Gates and it's, you know, it's Obama and it's, you know, it's always somebody. And it captures our attentions in these types of conversations that I believe distracts us from the reality that the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. I don't care if he's been manifested in human form. The spirit of the Antichrist is already here. The spirit of the Antichrist has been here since Christ started to preach his message. And this spirit has been working to deceive the nations and even harder to deceive Christians and churches and pastors. You know, within 300 years after Jesus, did you know that the world was Christianized under Emperor Constantine? He decreed in the Roman Empire, the biggest empire in the world at that time, he decreed, he made a law that said, if you serve any other god besides a Christian god, you can be imprisoned. I don't know if you knew that, but there was a time in our world where the world was Christianized. And temples of pagan gods were destroyed. It's so fascinating to me. The same empire that crucified Jesus was the same empire that declared Jesus as Lord. And from that time, the Antichrist immediately began to work to destroy the church and corrupt popes and put greed into the hearts of kings and bring division after division to the members of the body of Christ. And we still see this spirit alive and active today. That's why you've got some pastors who should not be pastoring. You've got some churches who have perverted the gospel for the sake of a feel-good message. The spirit of the Antichrist is in the church. And I'm not saying this so that you can be afraid. I'm not trying to fearmonger anybody. I'm also not saying that the church is doomed. No, I believe the words of Jesus when he said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you aware. Peter says, be sober-minded and be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking somebody to devour. An Antichrist spirit is any spirit that seeks to separate us from the Christ. I have your attention, right? We're going somewhere. I want you to get this. The Antichrist, an Antichrist spirit, is anything that tries to separate you from Jesus. And it doesn't always look evil. It, you know, sometimes it can look good. It doesn't look like horns and a pitchfork. An Antichrist spirit could simply be a distraction in your life. It could be in the movies that you watch. It can be in the thoughts that you entertain. It could be in the conversations that you have, yes, with even Christians. There can be an Antichrist spirit in your ministry. If you're doing ministry for the wrong reasons, everything is more spiritual than we realize. And if we're not aware of these things, they will cause us to slowly drift from the truth and create in us a callous heart. So I like I said, I believe that the gates of hell will never prevail against the holy bride of Christ. The church is sustainable because we're founded on the rock that is Christ. But don't get it wrong, there will be casualties along the way. There have been casualties along the way. There have been men and women of God who professed the things of God, who preached the things of God, but because of a spirit that they allowed into their midst, they were led astray. And I don't want that to be anybody in here. I refuse to be one of those casualties. I almost called this this message bad company instead of bad spirits because, Paul says to the Corinthians, you know, bad company corrupts good character, good morals. And that's kind of become a mantra for people even outside the church, especially parents. It's something we know to be true. We have to be watchful as parents of what we are allowing our kids to be exposed to, right? And we're always watching what they're watching, and we're always kind of eavesdropping a little bit on their conversations. And I don't know about you, but we read our child's text messages. We read Layla's text messages. And you kind of have to. And you see somebody that might be influencing them in a negative way, and you check that and you say, hey, I don't want you hanging around this person anymore. You have to do that. That's important. We're influenced by the company that we keep. It's funny. If you know Layla, you know she's got a little bit of an attitude on her, you know. we love her, but, you know, she's very passionate, very emotional. It just comes out in the form of extreme emotion. And Ellie's completely the opposite. Ellie's the sweetest little girl. She will love you. But sometimes she gets a little spicy, right? And Melissa will tell her, Ellie, you've been hanging around the wrong crowd, girl, referring to Layla. It's true. We're influenced by the company that we keep. I don't care who you are. We're all influenced by something or someone. But I also believe that company doesn't just refer to people. It can also refer to spirits that you keep in your midst. The word spirit, you know, it's been subject to so many different interpretations beyond Christianity. Every religion uses the word spirit in some way. But the literal definition of spirit is wind or breath. Everybody knows that pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. It's the wind of God. It's the breath of God. So when Genesis says that the spirit of God was hovering over the waters, it literally says the wind of God, the breath of God was hovering over the waters. And I think that's a pretty helpful way to think about the Holy Spirit. He is the invisible wind or breath of God who cannot be seen but can be felt. He is everywhere. He is in every time. The spirit of God also produces various fruits. This is basic stuff, okay? But I want you to get it. There is a spirit of unity that is from the Holy Spirit. There is a spirit of love that comes from the Holy Spirit. There is a spirit of self-control and a spirit of power. Paul tells Timothy, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control. And so when we dwell with the Holy Spirit, when we spend time being sanctified daily by the Holy Spirit, we also dwell in the goodness of the things that he produces. See or no? So every Christian should be dwelling with the Holy Spirit. Every single Christian. Holy Spirit is not just for Pentecostals. Holy Spirit is the breath of God. And so if everything is more spirit than I realize, then the spirit I hope to dwell in, day out, needs to be the one that is holy. At church, you have to discern this truth, man. You've gotta know that there is no in-between. There is no middle ground. I saw something yesterday that said lukewarm Christianity is making biblical Christianity look radical. There are too many Christians that are satisfied with the in-between. And you think, well, you know, there's nothing really spiritual about being in the middle. I'm not sinning. I'm not acting a fool. I'm still coming to church. I'm still doing the things that, you know, God expects me to do. But a spirit of complacency, a spirit of indifference is not a godly spirit.
So I don't know who needs to hear that again. I don't know who came in here with the dormant spirit. I don't know who is in here day after day or week after week with the spirit of complacency, with the spirit that doesn't even want to grow. That is not a godly spirit that you are keeping in your company. It's like being stuck in a boat in the middle of the ocean and the engine has gone dead. There's no immediate danger, but if you don't hurry up and fix that engine to get you going in the direction that you're supposed to be going, the current of the sea is going to take you in a direction you never intended to go. That's what it's like to be around a spirit of indifference, a spirit of complacency, a spirit that has no desire to grow. This word is teaching today. There are evil spirits, listen, that are not necessarily demons. You know, just like the Holy Spirit is not the spirit of unity, but he produces a spirit of unity. Evil produces evil spirits. And so when we dwell in the presence of bad company, when we dwell in the presence of bad spirits, that corrupts the spirit within us. So I can't really answer this question for you, but what kind of bad spirits might you be keeping around? What are you constantly thinking about that might be producing bad spirits? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to that might be causing a bad spirit in your home? Listen, y'all, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm giving you authority to cast out unclean spirits. I don't know what kind of Christian you are, but I'm the kind of Christian that believes that Christians can cast out evil spirits. The thing is, we get so caught up on the technicalities, like, well, can we cast out demons? Was that just the apostles? And can Christians be demon-possessed and this and that? And we get so caught up on the technicalities, but the Bible says, cast out the evil spirits. I'm not even talking about the demons yet. I'm just talking about bad spirits. There might be a bad spirit that you have that has not yet manifested as a demon, but is still in your midst. There is a spirit of pride that you have allowed into your heart. There's a spirit of division. There's a spirit of anger. There's a spirit of entitlement or jealousy. There is a spirit of lust. And you've allowed these spirits to dwell in your midst, but because they're not demons, you let them stay. And Jesus is saying, I'm giving you authority to cast these things out. When it's a spirit of negativity, cast it out. When it's constant fear, cast it out. When it's selfishness, when it's pride, cast it out. They might not be demons, but it's a spirit. It's an invisible wind breathed from the mouth of something that is not godly. I don't want that in my life. Cast it out, church. Because when you let a spirit go unchecked for too long, like so many of us do, that spirit can and many times will invite a demon. I don't believe that a Holy Spirit-filled Christian can be possessed by a demon, but I do believe that demons can become possessive. When you give them certain rights to your life, you haven't given them the deed, but you have signed over a lease agreement to them. And so now they have certain rights to your life because you've allowed them to have it. Are you getting this? When a man cheats on his wife, we're going to go there. When a man cheats on his wife, the man still belongs to his wife, and the wife still belongs to him. But because he has released certain privileges to another woman, because he has given over some visitation rights, because he has given over some rights to his body, now this woman becomes possessive of what he has allowed her to have. She might not live in the home. She might not cook him dinner. She might not rub his shoulders when he's tired from work. She might not take care of him when he's sick, but she thinks that she has rights to him because he's made it okay. He has given this other woman a part of him. And the same is true with demons. The same is true with evil spirits. Because Christian, men and women in the church, We have given so many rights up to the world. We haven't tested the spirits that we keep around us. We don't realize the damage that these things are causing on our soul. We haven't confronted the Antichrist. It's quiet today. This is why pornography. Let's go there, okay? Let's go there. This is why pornography is such an epidemic, not just in the world, but in the church. So many men and women, even. I read a statistic that said so many women that I had no idea struggle with this as well in the church. So many men, so many women struggle with some form of sexual addiction. And maybe it started off small. Maybe it started with the movie that you watched a long time ago that had a little bit of nudity in it. Maybe it started with a book that had a little, it was a little bit erotic. And because you let that spirit in, that spirit grew. And eventually it brought with it demons. And the demons said, look, we can't have all of him, but we can have a part of him. We can have a part that he's allowing us to have. We can have this time, from this time to this time on this day when he's alone at home. What have you given? What rights have you, as a child of God, owned by the precious blood of Jesus? What have you given over to the world? There's a spirit of Antichrist that we are so callous to, so indifferent to, because he's not yet manifested in human form, but he's manifested as a spirit in the church. And we need the awareness and we need the discernment to know what we have allowed in our midst so that we can boldly cast it out. What have you turned over to the enemy? What in your life? Think about it like this. What in your life is Antichrist? I'm not trying to scare you. Don't think you got to go home and cover your house with holy oil. All right? You can if you want. Everybody's going to do it. We should start selling some. No, look, you should absolutely pray for your home. But you also have to know that anointing something and praying over something for protection is prevention. It's not treatment. I'll say it again just in case you didn't get it. When you pray over something, when you anoint something, when you consecrate something, that's prevention, not treatment. I'm the type of guy who goes, you know, to the doctor for treatment, not prevention. And maybe if I went more for prevention, I could prevent the need for treatment. Man, January 1st, bro. January 1st, I thought I was having a heart attack. It's not funny. I'm serious. I thought I was dying. Legit, man. We had people over that day, and it was good. We had good food. We ate a lot. But that night, and I had this sensation in my chest. It ran up to my neck. It went to my shoulders. And I thought I was dying. I did a little bit think, okay, maybe it's heartburn. Maybe. And then I Googled it. I'm freaking Googled. Google said, it's probably heartburn, but it could also be a heart attack. That's what Google told me. That's what Google said. And so I'm there wrestling with the idea of going to the emergency room only for them to send me a bill for $2,000 for a pack of Tums, you know. So I'm there and I sleep very horribly that night. The next day, I still feel sore. I go to urgent care. They do an EKG on me and they're like, you're good, bro. You're good. And then I was like, you know what? Maybe I should actually check. I'm 35 years old. Let me check myself. Let me go to the doctor. Let me get some blood work done. And I did that. But again, I'm much more of the treatment guy. That's what we usually are, especially if you're healthy. You go to the doctor for treatment when the problem is already present. But as Christians, we do the opposite. We know how to do prevention better than we know how to do treatment. I still got your attention? Sometimes we do prevention when what we really need to do is treatment. You can't start eating fruit and vegetables while you're having a heart attack. Sorry, it's too late. You need to start to treat the problem now. And so as Christians, you know, every night we pray over our kids. We pray over our home. We pray over our marriages. We have marriage night. We have stuff that pours into us. We consecrate things for holy use. We pray that God would protect and cover these things. That's prevention. But when you open a door to a spirit, the time for prevention is over. Something was breached. Someone let their guard down. Now is not the time for prevention, because the things that you hope to prevent is already there. Good luck praying against the spirit of adultery when you're already in her bedroom. It ain't gonna work. Now is the time to cast out. Now is the time to flee like Joseph fled. Now is the time to rebuke and turn up the volume in your voice a little bit. Now is the time to fight against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present age. Because if you don't do something right now, listen, if you don't do something now, it's only going to get bigger and it's only going to get stronger and its grip on you is only going to get tighter, and then the heart will grow even colder. You got to treat the problem today. Some of you need to go home today and remove some things from your home, because it's creating a spirit that does not belong in your midst. I don't know what it is. But the Bible says in James 4:8, for each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. The scripture is imploring us as Christians to test the spirits. You know, some of these things that we're talked about today are obvious deviations from God. Pornography, spirit of lust, spirit of pride, all of that, it's very obvious. But the things that we keep in our company are not, they don't always appear to be bad spirits. That's the problem. The devil is a liar. He convinces us that ungodly things are good things. And this is why there are churches that affirm lifestyles that are not compatible with the Christian God. Because the Antichrist spirit says, hey, God is love. Love is love. And it's affected and infiltrated its way into denominations. Not just a couple churches. Whole denominations of churches. And maybe I say that and you think, Pastor, you shouldn't be saying that. Because I've had those conversations with people. I've had conversations with people who say, I don't want to invite my gay friend to church because of what might be said behind the pulpit. I'm not hating on anybody. I'm a sinner. Jesus saved me from my sin. We're all sinners. And I wish the entire LGBT community would come in here to experience the love of God's people and the love of God. Because that will happen. But also, at some point, the gospel's got to be preached. The gospel exposes our need for a savior. And it's confused so many people because we want to conform to the patterns of this world, and has led to denominations of churches affirming things that are not compatible with the heart of God. And it all started with the spirit that looked good. A spirit that said, what's wrong with you? Are you a homophobe? What's wrong with you? You don't like gay people? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Don't you love Jesus? How can you love Jesus and not love people? That is a perverted, twisted lie from the very mouth of the devil. And it's convinced so many people. That's how these things begin. Innocent, seeming to be good. Looking good, looking pleasing to the eye. And the enemy says, did God really say that? Are you sure you heard him right? God doesn't really think that.
There's a spirit of the Antichrist, and the church has to be alert and discerning. As you reflect on this sermon, this week, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for discernment. I want you to pray for discernment. Can y'all commit to that this week? I'm giving y'all homework, giving y'all some practical stuff. You go home and you begin to pray for a spirit of discernment. That God would open up your spiritual eyes that would allow you to test against the scriptures. Philippians says, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, there's anything excellent, there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When a lying spirit comes into your midst, when there is an impure thought, when there is a person causing dishonor to you or to your family or to your church or to your faith, when there is a Jezebel spirit around you in your circle, when there is a spirit of confusion, when there is a spirit of anxiety or fear or paralysis, when there is a spirit of pride or competition, don't be afraid to use the authority that's been given to you by the very power of the Holy Spirit. Cast it out. Cast it out. I think we need to be doing more of this. In our homes and at these altars. Because this is what we do as Christians. Can we be real? I'm gonna sit. You know when I sit, I get real. This is what we do. We suppress more than we cast out. We bottle up more than we cast out. When there is something seriously wrong in our spirit, and we're on our way to church, we say, you know what? I need to shut up real quick. I need to bottle that up. I need to put it in my pocket. I'll deal with it later because I'm going to church. You keep it for later. When you're coming around saints and holy people, you keep some things in your closet. The filth that you carry, the spirits, the things that you're worried about, the things that you're anxious about, that fear, that anxiety, that hatred for that one person, that jealousy for the person, and you have to look fake because you invited them over for dinner. I'm going to sweep it under the rug. I'm going to suppress it. That's what I used to do. I'm speaking from experience. I would suppress the things that I needed to deal with and cast out. You suppress it, you just send it to the bottom. Jesus didn't give you authority to suppress something. He didn't give you authority to say, hey, you tell that demon to keep quiet. He didn't give you authority to say, demon, go to your room. He gave you authority to cast it out, to send it away. To fight against it with the power of God. That is the power that you and I have. So whenever there is a spirit of pride, whenever there is a spirit of lust, whenever there is a spirit of fear, when there's a spirit of doubt, cast it out. Cast it out. Just like what we did right now. We had to profess. We had to declare the greatness of God. That's praise.
That's praise. That's praise. Don't let somebody else praise for you. No, you have to declare it from the bottom of your stomach and say, God is good, even when I don't feel that He is good. You have to say, I praise God. I love God because He's a faithful God. You have to say these things. And when there's a spirit of the Antichrist among you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to look silly. Don't be afraid. The Bible says it. We do not battle against flesh and blood. This looks stupid, right? That looks stupid. That looks dumb. Somebody thinks you're, you know, drug addict or something. You know, druggy. You're talking to people. Sometimes when there's a spirit confronting itself, you need to say, get out of here, lined up. And do it. Say it with your chest, man. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to cast out these things. You don't have to live with it anymore. I'm letting somebody know today, that thing that has kept you in chains for so long, you don't have to live with it. You don't have to. You don't have to keep it there. You don't have to suppress it. You don't have to tuck it under the rug when you come to church. No, you can send it away. Don't allow the Antichrist enough room to destroy your soul. I don't know who needed to hear this message. I don't know, but God has given you permission today to release some things. That's what I want to do this morning. Because I believe that there are people in this room with things that they have just suppressed and kept in their closet and kept in their pocket for later. And Jesus is saying, I give you authority to cast it out. I give you authority to send it away. And whenever it creeps up, and whenever it wants to tempt you, you do it again. Lying devil, get out of here. I don't have time for you. You're not welcome here anymore. At my doorstep, I don't want you around here anymore. I don't even want you within 2 or 3 miles of my family, because this is a holy place. This is a consecrated place. And if you come into my home, I'm going to treat it with the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the believer that God is looking for this morning. The one that would work in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand with me. I don't want to take too long to call you to the altar, because then you... The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is in this place. He's in this room. And He is speaking to somebody. And He's saying, release it. Release it. Drop it here at these altars. You don't have to deal with it anymore. Realize that the Spirit has the power to grow into something bigger. It has the power to grow into something more intentional and more aggressive. Cast it out right now in Jesus' mighty name. Prayer team, can you come with me? And we're going to pray with you. We're going to go to war with you. If that's you this morning, I want every head bowed, every eye closed for a second. This is you and God. I'm going to begin to call out some things, okay? I'm going to call out some things, and if it resonates with you, I want you to come to these altars, because there's power here. There's no judgment here. There is power here. And you want to be released, but maybe you're too ashamed to come up because you don't want people knowing your business. That's suppression. You're suppressing it. Bring it to fight it. That person with the spirit of lust, come forward. That person with the spirit of selfishness, come forward. That spirit of pride, come forward. It's about to kill you. Pride goes before the fall. That spirit that doesn't allow you to apologize. That spirit that doesn't allow you to forgive. Come, bring it. Bring it to this place right now before the feet of Jesus. There is power. There is power. That spirit of fear, come on. That spirit of fear that has crippled you from the very thing that God has called you to do. God is saying, where are you at? I've called you a long time ago. I'm waiting on you. But there is a spirit of fear that you have kept too long. God is saying, bring it right now and fight. Fight it. There is a spirit of depression. There's a spirit of depression. Bring it. Bring it. It's causing you sadness. It's causing you mental issues. It's causing you to be negative about so many things. It's causing you to be down. It's causing you to refrain from the joy that is in the Lord. There's an antichrist spirit of depression. If that's you, come forward. Come forward. Come forward. And I need my prayer.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.